Prepare to be astonished!
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening, and welcome back to another An Adventure in History.
And it's our pre-Valentine's Day, or is Valentine's Day Eve?
Or Valentine's Day weekend.
A weekend on Monday? Oh, yeah. You include it as a weekend then?
Oh, of course. I've got little kids, so you celebrate Valentine's Day, a long time.
Tell me this, because it's been years and years. Do kids still give like a million Valentine's
they
to each other?
They do. Oh, we got the list, like, I think I got it like 3 weeks ago, the school list. Of course, she only has like 13 kids in her class, so it's not terrible.
And are they required that they have to give one to every kid if they're going to bring any in?
There were no requirements, although okay. I would think that social norms would encourage all of us yes. to do that. Because Carly did inform me she was only going to give one. I know. A special friend.
See, I'm kind of okay with that.
I know. I thought it was so sweet.
I do. I feel like if it's one out of 13, because you're my special friend, I'm okay with that. If I'm picking 10 out of 13, then I'm kind of like, now you're being mean.
That's not good.
So I'm very torn.
In the end though, she didn't think anything of doing one for everyone.
I'm thinking out loud here, so I might be digging my own grave, but so be it. I kind of think I'm okay. Like, okay, if I have to buy one for everybody in the class and I have a special friend, then maybe that one gets a bigger thing.
That could be.
Like I buy the pack of nothing but Superman, and then I give like a giant Captain America one.
Well, and Carly makes them, so maybe that one is extra special because she can write now, so I don't know exactly which one goes to who.
Oh, my.
So we'll see. Did you get something special for Renee?
I better go out shopping tomorrow morning.
You still have a couple hours. We love you, Renee, our editor extraordinaire.
We should like... add her as like the technical.
I know, she's amazing.
She's the producer. What role is that?
She's our editor.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
seems odd.
That's true because she's not really editing.
Yeah.
Because we're not edited, but she makes us. She. I don't know what. Yeah.
She eliminates the echo because our studio is not really a studio.
Technical director.
It's a space that we've carved out.
Again, much love.
All right, shall we get to the big show?
Let's do it.
Because I think I can hear the clicker. People are changing radio stations as we speak. Okay, so these are things that happened tomorrow, February 14th. 1779, Captain Cook is killed in Hawaii during his third visit.
We love hearing about Captain Cook.
We do.
We do.
And for years, like visitors, Europeans and others stopping, the Hawaiians kind of made a whole tourist thing out of it. Like, hey, you want to come to the beach and see? Where it happened, and here's a bullet hole on a tree.
Well, and statues of him, right? Yeah.
I mean, so more power to him. I kind of love taking advantage of that. All right, 1859. Oregon is admitted to the Union as the 33rd state.
I love that. What a great day.
And I like the number, 33. That's a good number.
It is.
Because nobody wants to be like 29.
And isn't it Oregon Day?
It is.
Oregon Day, right.
Yeah, years ago, we participated in a big thing down at the state house.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
There was birthday cake, and
the people dressed as in that time period. They had a ball or something.
Oh, that's fun.
We were there promoting the story bicentennial.
Okay.
So it was a long time ago.
And so, yeah.
Let's see. Oh, 1884. This one's sad. This one's super sad, actually. Theodore Roosevelt, TR. Theodore Roosevelt's wife and mother die on the same day.
Aww.
His mother died of typhoid fever. He was in the state legislature, and he rushed home. And he didn't get there in time. And then his wife of 4 years dies of Bright's disease later in the day, a severe kidney ailment. And she had given birth only 2 days prior to their daughter, Alice, who's one of my favorite Roosevelts.
Okay.
Because everybody knows I like FDR. I like Teddy. But I also like Alice a lot.
Okay.
She's very funny.
Tragic, though.
The same day.
Yeah.
1886, the first trainload of oranges leaves Los Angeles via the Transcontinental Railroad.
Oh, that's
oranges.
That's great.
I don't know why I like that one.
It probably smelled really good.
Well, isn't the price of oranges going to go through the roof?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think Florida had like the worst harvest they've ever had.
Because of that frost or freeze.
Yeah, that they're less than they've ever been and they're smaller.
Oh, okay.
So my orange juice is going to go way up in price.
Ooh.
I'm very disappointed. I wish we could have a trainload of oranges leaving Los Angeles coming this way. All right, 1903, the U.S. Department of Commerce and Labor forms.
Okay, 1903.
I don't really have an opinion on that one. Oh. Okay, neither do you. No. 1912, Arizona joins the Union.
Yeah, I saw that one.
It's the 48th state.
Yep. Yeah. So not as special.
Not as special.
No.
I don't know how I feel about Arizona.
I know. I mean,
they got the Grand Canyon. That's pretty cool.
They do.
And we have a lot of people that spend their winters down there from here.
I lived there for a little bit when I was a child.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any memories?
I do. It was very dry, very flat. I mean, there are mountains, of course. Mm-hmm. Cactus everywhere, of course. Big snakes. It's hot.
So you're not selling it to
no.
me.
No, when we moved back to Oregon after that. So it was okay. fine.
See, I don't feel like I should beat up on Arizona like I do some states. But I don't have any warm fuzzies, and you didn't add anything that would make me
no.
like, oh, big snakes. I should go there.
Monsoon season.
All right. 1920, the League of Women Voters is formed in Chicago.
I like that.
I do too. 1929, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Mm. Four men dressed as police officers enter the headquarters of gangster Bugs Moran and line up seven of his men against a wall and shoot them. Bugs. You think that's his given name?
Yeah.
My daughter visited Las Vegas over New Year's, and she went to the Mafia Museum in Las Vegas.
Oh, have fun.
I might have to take a trip. In theory, they have a piece of the wall.
The Mafia Museum.
Yeah.
I mean, you are in Vegas, right?
Yes.
So is there just a blank wall, too?
I didn't get a full
this
description.
This is part of... You just paid.
Yeah. But our history highlight of the day, of course, the thing that had the most... impact on history is 270.
Wow.
I know. St. Valentine is beheaded.
Oh.
I don't think we would have ever really heard of St. Valentine.
Oh, we would have.
If he hadn't been beheaded.
That's terrible.
It is terrible. But we made a whole holiday about it.
We did. So. But did we really, or did we just use, I mean, I think that we could have, called, it just wouldn't have been called Valentine's Day.
It would have been called like
something else.
Like the hug the person you love day or something
right.
like that.
That's
true.
Know.
We should learn more about St. Valentine's
Day. We should,
day.
But first, you did miss one. 1957, the Georgia State Senate outlaws interracial athletics.
Outlaws it. In 1957?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, who were they protecting?
Well, who do you think?
Did they not want... I'm assuming this was an anti-black thing. Did they not want blacks competing with whites or on the same team? I wonder what they were trying to go for there.
Well, it's Georgia.
Besides hatred.
Yes, not great. But yeah, but the date is, I mean, 1957. That's not that long ago yet.
Yeah. That's stunning.
Mm-hmm. It is.
You know, one of the best museums I ever went to, and it's been years and years, so I don't know the state of it now. I went shortly after it opened, but the Negro League's baseball museum in Kansas City.
Oh, fun.
It's very powerful.
Yeah.
Because these guys were every bit as good.
Oh.
As
of course, right?
Joe DiMaggio or Babe Ruth or any of the other guys. And they just weren't allowed to compete. But they were every bit as good, and the white players knew they were every bit as good.
Yeah.
So, well. Anyway. If you're in Kansas City, go visit the museum.
Okay, good to know. On to Valentine's Day. Still have time if you forgot all weekend to tell someone in your life that you care for them. Love them. You still have time.
But why? Why well, do yes, we celebrate why? This day? What's it
well,
all about?
Well, you said it's all because somebody's head was taken off.
Yes.
Okay. So the origins of St. Valentine's Day, and this is from the Wisconsin Historical Society. The exact beginning of St. Valentine's Day is in dispute, but the most popular story tells of a Roman priest, Valentine of Rome, who defied the order of Roman Emperor Claudius II to stop performing marriage ceremonies for young men whom he wished to recruit into the army. He believed that married men did not make very good soldiers, so he had Valentine arrested and incarcerated. While in prison, Valentine became friends with the blind daughter of his jailer. Before his execution in, this says, AD 269.
Ooh, I said 270.
Yep. Well, again, it's probably in dispute.
Probably the changing of the calendars.
He healed her blindness and wrote her a note, which he signed, "From your Valentine."
Ooh.
Pope Gelasius established St. Valentine's Day in AD 500, you know, just a couple hundred years later, to replace Lupercalia, a pagan fertility rite celebrated in Rome. Pope Paul VI removed it from the Roman calendar of saints in 1969, but still permitted the religious observance. The first association of Valentine's Day with romantic love was in 1382, a poem by Geoffrey Chaucer to honor the first anniversary of the engagement of King Richard II of England to Anne of Bohemia.
So, you know, St. Valentine's Day rolls off the tongue far easier than Lupercalia.
Right. But I mean, I think it's funny, too, but it truly, it's a couple hundred years later, this pope says, oh, yeah, well, this is the way to get people to stop celebrating it.
That's right. I wonder if people, like, instead of saying, to my Valentine, if they said, to my Lupercalia. All right. So the Valentine's greeting cards.
Yes.
In America. Exchanging handmade Valentine's Day cards probably began in America in the early 1700s.
Ooh.
Would not have guessed that.
No.
Manufactured cards appeared as early as the 1830s. Would not have guessed that. After this time, the availability of paper and a universal postal system.
Your favorite.
My favorite. I was pausing to figure out what to say. That's fantastic that you finished my thought there. I am that predictable.
Yes.
And a universal postal system made Valentine's more accessible to the masses. In 1847, Esther Howland, known as the mother of the American Valentine, received an elaborate English Valentine. This inspired her to create her own Valentines, convincing her father, who happened to own the largest book and stationery store in Worcester, Massachusetts, to order paper, lace, and supplies from England and New York. That first year, she hoped to sell $200 worth of cards. Her brother took a dozen samples on his next sales trip and returned with $5,000 in advance sales.
Wow.
In order to fill the order, she recruited friends and family, and her business was born.
I love that.
I do too.
Entrepreneur.
Eventually, her company was making $100,000 a year. In 1879,
that's
she
amazing.
Joined. Is that astounding? That's and the average salary then, or the like somebody's take home pay, like a school teacher or something, is probably like about $1,500.
Gosh.
So $100,000 a year. In 1879, she joined forces with Edward Taft to create the New England Valentine Company. In 1881, George C. Whitney bought their business, combining it with his own, the Whitney Valentine Company. His son continued manufacturing Valentine's Day cards until 1942, when wartime paper shortages caused the business to close.
So when we say it's a Hallmark holiday, now we know that's not exactly true. And I wish now I'd looked up when exactly did Hallmark start, because certainly when it comes to marketing, Hallmark is amazing.
Well, I mean, while you're in Kansas City visiting the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum,
yes,
you can visit the Hallmark Visitor Center.
There you go. I did not know that.
It's really, if you got little ones, it's super creative. They have this whole like interactive art thing, and they make the parents watch through glass.
Oh.
So there's no interfering and the parents doing stuff.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, my sister volunteered there for a number of years.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Okay, so we got a list here. This comes from Good Housekeeping, December of just last year. And it's a list of little known facts about Valentine's Day. The first one is Cupid had its roots in Greek mythology. He's the charming cherub that appears on Valentine's Day cards, often depicted with a bow and arrow. But how did Cupid become a common symbol of Valentine's Day? According to Time, the figure can actually be traced all the way back to 700 BC to the Greek god of love named Eros, who was actually a handsome, immortal man with the intimidating power to make people fall in love. It wasn't until the 4th century BCE that the Romans adopted Eros into the image of a cute little boy with a bow and arrow, naming him Cupid. By the turn of the 19th century, Cupid has become linked to Valentine's Day due to his love-matching powers.
I've always been very disturbed by Cupid.
I know, I was going to say, he's creepy.
He shoot me with a bow and arrow.
Carly asked like me that. About it the other day, and she wanted me to explain what it was, and it, I can tell
that's,
her.
That's right.
Greek mythology, and it's from 700 BC. Carly.
Shooting people with an arrow, that's not appropriate.
I know,
that's
and it's a little child, like a little baby.
Yeah, yes. It's very strange. The first Valentine was sent in the 15th century. The oldest record of a Valentine being sent, according to history.com, that's the preferred place to go for all of your history needs, was a poem written by a French medieval duke named Charles to his wife in 1415. Charles penned this sweet note to his lover while he was imprisoned in the Tower of London at just 21 years old. One of the lines in the poem, "I am already sick of love, my very gentle Valentine." Whew. Swoon City.
That's funny. Not until the 1840s did we get the first mass-produced Valentine. So this is what, actually, we read this one. So she was already, we already talked about her.
Yeah.
So we're going to skip that one. So the tradition of giving Valentine's Day flowers dates back to the 17th century. Giving red roses may be an obvious romantic gesture today, but it wasn't until the late 17th century that giving flowers became a popular custom. In fact, the practice can be traced back to when King Charles II of Sweden learned the language of flowers, which pairs different flowers with specific meanings, on a trip to Persia, and subsequently introduced the tradition to Europe. The act of giving flowers then became a popular trend during the Victorian era, including on Valentine's Day, with red roses symbolizing deep love. So are you a flower guy? Do the expensive?
I am not.
Okay.
I'd rather give a plant.
That's, yeah, I like that.
Something that lasts.
Oh, that's...
It just seems sad to me that... Yeah, I mean, I don't mind the killing the flowers. They're probably criminal flowers that deserve to die. But you give these things and then they're dead in 2 days, 3 days.
Not
you gotta throw
two
away.
Days. I see. I just don't mind that. I like the grocery store flowers. You know, like the you get a very a bigger bouquet, and save the.
When we had the rose garden was still a rose garden on the grounds of the little house before the deer ate them all.
Oh, no.
I used to trim some roses there and take them home.
Oh.
Because I apparently have my own rose garden.
There you go. But they're all gone. I think Mark planted one of those roses.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You two together would have. As Admiral's aide and Admiral's aide's wife. Yes.
Interesting.
Today, Americans spend a lot on love. According to the National Retail Foundation, Americans spend over $20 billion on Valentine's Day gifts in 2019. And we're expected to spend a record-breaking $27.4 billion the next year. Including $2.4 billion on candy alone. People also expected to spend an average of approximately $196 for Valentine's Day, with men spending around $291 compared to women spending $106.
See, now that's when women pay spending less or is better.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, we're smarter, you know. Americans send 145 million Valentine's Day cards each year. According to Hallmark, a whopping 145 million Valentine's Day cards are exchanged every February 14th. And that's not even including all those kids' Valentines exchanged in classrooms.
13 in your child's classroom.
This makes Valentine's Day the second biggest holiday for exchanging greeting cards after Christmas. And how sweet. Teachers receive the most Valentine's Day cards annually, followed by children, mothers, and wives. Needless to say, we've come a long way from 1913, which was when Hallmark cards produced their first Valentine's Day card.
So there you go, 1913. Yeah. Oh, that's their first Valentine's.
Yep.
They were probably around before then. Okay, and this is the part that is really odd. They also spend millions of dollars on gifts for their pets.
I like that. See, Valentine's Day doesn't have to be. I mean, it's for anyone you love.
All right. I'm
so keep going.
I'm judging, but okay. Hey, furry friends need love too. In fact, around 27.6 million American households gave Valentine's Day presents to their pet dogs in 2020, and more than 7.1 million picked up gifts for their cats.
17.1.
Okay.
You said 17.1
versus 27.6.
Yeah.
So is that because there are more dogs in people's houses or more and less cats?
No, because the cats are going to criticize the gift.
That's true. Yes.
Yep. Always.
That is very true.
Yep. So
that's funny. All in all, American households spent an estimated $751.3 million on gifts for their pets on Valentine's Day.
Okay, candy and flowers might be some of the most common gifts for Valentine's Day, but according to the National Retail Federation, the category we typically spend most on for February 14th is, drum roll please, you guessed it, jewelry, at a whopping $5.8 billion in 2020.
I would not have guessed jewelry.
Oh, you wouldn't have?
No, I would have thought flowers, candy, then jewelry.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
But I mean, what costs more?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
The second most paid for gift on Valentine's Day 2020 was an evening out at $4.3 billion, followed by clothing, candy, and then flowers.
Wow.
Like kids, like
totally
my girls get jammies, they get on Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay. The first heart-shaped box of chocolates was introduced in 1861. It was created by Richard Cadbury, son of Cadbury founder John Cadbury, who started packaging chocolates in fancy boxes to increase sales. He introduced the first heart-shaped box of chocolates for Valentine's Day in 1861. And today, more than 36 million heart-shaped boxes of chocolates are sold each year. That's 58 million pounds of chocolate. See, I would have guessed not only was it a novelty, but it was a way to sell for the same price, less chocolates.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like a square rectangle box.
Right.
Would have been my guess.
And again, if men are buying, then they don't have to wrap it. They don't have to put it in a bag.
That's true.
You just hand it over. Okay. Weirdly enough, the story of conversation hearts first began when a Boston pharmacist named Oliver Chase invented a machine that simplified the way medical lozenges used for sore throats and other illnesses could be made. The result was America's first candy-making machine because the pharmacist soon started shifting his focus from making lozenges to candy instead. Chase founded the New England Confectionery Company, or NECO, and the candy lozenges soon became what we know today as NECO wafers.
Are you a fan?
No. Those are terrible.
Yeah, I mean, the messages are funny and that's okay, but I don't like the taste. It wasn't until 1866 that we first got sweet printed messages on conversation hearts. It was Oliver's brother, Daniel Chase, who started printing sentimental messages on the NECO sweethearts. Though these candies were bigger than the versions we have today and featured much larger printed sayings and phrases. Some of the first messages: "Married in white, you have chosen right." And "How long shall I have to wait? Please be considerate."
Now it's like LOL.
Honestly, I mean, if that's the way you're trying to get her to say yes,
yes,
or look at you, how long do I have to wait?
Sweet little.
Maybe
note.
She's not the one for you.
She just pops it in her mouth.
And if that's what it takes for her to be convinced, then maybe you two deserve each other. I don't know.
More than 8 billion conversation hearts are manufactured each year. And NECO has to start making them just days after February 14 to have enough time to make them for the next Valentine's Day. That's almost 100,000 pounds per day. Each box has approximately 45 sayings, including "true love," "hug me," and "you rock." But you can personalize your own too. And if you still have last year's box, I like this one. They have a shelf life of 5 years. That could be why you don't like them.
That could be the problem. I need them to be free range and organic or something. I don't know.
Fresh.
Nearly 6 million couples get engaged on Valentine's Day. I mean, what better day is there for a marriage proposal than a day literally dedicated to love and romance? Aww. Valentine's Day is one of the popular days to pop the question, with as many as 6 million couples getting engaged on February 14th. And according to the results of this survey, Valentine's Day was voted the best day of the year to propose than any other day. And of those people who voted, 40% were men.
Oh,
one time at the film museum, like 5 or 6 years ago, I had a guy call ahead of time that had been there before. And he asked if, when you're doing your filming, we give you lines from your favorite movies. So like in the car, you can be pretended driving and hear some lines from the Goonies. He asked if we could customize that to be, "Would you marry me?"
Oh, I love it.
And I was like, "We can't do that, dude. I'm so sorry." But he wanted to like get in there with his girlfriend.
Because you knew that you wouldn't be able to handle the rush of people.
I just said, "We can't. That's just not possible." But I forgot what we did for him. We let him do something.
Oh, I like that. Mark did propose on Valentine's Day.
I kind of thought so.
Yes.
I don't know why I knew that.
Yeah. Well, I think we probably mentioned it before. Yes. And I said, yes, of course. It is celebrated differently around the world. Many Latin American countries know the holiday as El Día de los Enamorados, Day of Lovers, or Día del Amor y la Amistad, Day of Love and Friendship. Though couples exchange flowers and chocolate on this day, the holiday's focus is also directed at showing gratitude to friends. I like that one.
I do too. I like the Day of Love and Friendship.
Yes. At Carly's old preschool, it was called Love Day. In Japan, it's customary for just the women to give confections to the men in their lives for the quality of the chocolate, indicating their true feelings according to fortune. On March 14th, exactly 1 month later, the men repay the favor by celebrating the increasingly popular White Day. Another holiday.
I'll have to ask my daughter about that. XOXO didn't always mean hugs and kisses. XOXO is a popular signature this time of year. The origins of the signature, however, stem from the Middle Ages. It's reported that during those times, the X symbolized the Christian cross, and letters ending with the sign of the cross and a kiss to symbolize an oath. As the gesture became more popular in literature, letters, and paperwork, it came to mean something had been sealed with a kiss.
Swak. Kids can be the real Valentine's Day winners, of course. Valentine's Day has typically been associated with romantic love and partnership. Increasingly enough, though, according to Today Show survey, polled 1,500 people, 59% of spouses planned on giving their partners a gift, while 85% of parents plan to give their children something on February 14th. My parents still give, well, I should say my mom probably still gives me a Valentine's Day gift.
Oh my gosh. That's funny. Lovebirds are actual birds. While the term lovebirds has become a popular figure of speech, it's also the common name for the acapornis bird. And bird lovers, I'm sure I mispronounced that. This bird is a type of parrot that is native to the continent of Africa and can be found throughout the eastern and southern regions. The animals typically travel in pairs, which is why many couples are referred to as lovebirds.
I like that too. There's an official Valentine's Day alternative for singles. It's International Quirky Alone Day is the holiday for single people on the same date. The holiday isn't an anti-Valentine's Day event, but rather a moment to celebrate self-love and platonic relationships. International Quirky Alone Day has been celebrated globally since 2003. See, I didn't even need a name for this.
No.
Because Valentine's Day, I mean, it can be about anybody.
See, that's why I don't like that one. Just
International Quirky Alone.
Celebrate the love and friendship day.
There needs to be someone in your life you love. Yes. Yeah. Tell them you love them.
And if there's nobody, then you love your TV or your phone or your computer or something.
Self-love.
I mean, yeah. So. Yeah. All right. William Shakespeare inspired a tradition. Writing letters to Juliet has become a Valentine's Day tradition for many and even inspired the 2000 film Letters to Juliet. Around Valentine's Day, thousands of letters are sent to Verona, Italy, addressed to the Romeo and Juliet character Juliet Capulet. These love letters to Juliet are filled with emotion, passion, and in many cases, heartbreak. Volunteers called Juliet's secretaries read through each letter, write responses, and pick a winner of the Cara Giulietta, which translates to Dear Juliet in English, prize. The winner gets to visit Juliet's home in Verona and attend a special ceremony. I almost said Vernonia.
Yeah.
That would be a terrible first place.
Disappointing.
I got my passport. I'm all set to go. And then the car picks you up and drives you to Vernonia.
They do know she dies at the end, right?
I don't know. I've never heard of this.
I haven't either. No, that's an interesting one.
That's very odd.
So is that okay? I did talk you into doing Valentine's Day
of course.
History today.
Well, I made you answer Jeopardy questions last week. This was far easier.
But did I answer them?
Well, we had a conversation about that.
Yes, about my not being able to answer them.
All right, so we get like a minute. You want to do a couple of quickie this week in history?
Sure.
Let's see. I should have been poised and ready here.
February 14th, 1957. 58 Portland businessmen came to Astoria to promote business. The main counter pitch given to them by local citizens was on behalf of the Astoria-Megler Bridge Project. We have been fortunate that Portlanders have not fought our bridge project, as a quarter century ago they fought bitterly against the Longview-Rainier Bridge Project. What we would like, in addition to mere non-opposition, is active support. The bridge will be of tremendous economic value to the Sunset Empire. It's a good one.
Yeah, we should build a bridge. That'd be a great idea.
That is a great idea.
We should get some clowns involved in that and make it happen. All right. Well, that was fun.
Yes.
So have a wonderful Valentine's Day. And I hope your daughters get lots of candy.
And we love you, all of our listeners.
We do.
Yes.
That's the highlight of our week. So go make some history. We'll catch you next week. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.